welcome back to KRUU's 100.1 FM with Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and my co-host today, Rob Hubler.
Hey, good morning.
And we are ready for an exciting show today with a famous guest today, Kurt Hansen, our state representative.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm happy to add to your discussion this morning.
Well, Kurt, we're so psyched that you're here. Tell us a little bit about what a state representative is and why you're on Mental Health Matters this morning.
And a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, a little bit about you.
All right. Yeah. First of all, a state representative in Iowa represents about 30,000 people. In this area, it's a three-county area, most of Jefferson, all of Van Buren, and all of Davis County. So we have a very diverse population in that area, and trying to do my best to represent all of those diversified people. So it's a very interesting job. You get to meet a lot of new people. You get to hear their ideas and their thoughts of what might be best for their communities. And each community, of course, is different. So you must balance all those needs, and I try to work very hard to represent the diversity of our greater community, my District 82. A little bit about myself. I was born and raised on an Iowa farm in northern Iowa. Upon graduation from college, I moved to Fairfield. That's been nearly 50 years ago. Raised my family here, met my lovely wife of now nearly 50 years here in Fairfield, and we've raised two wonderful children. We have four wonderful grandchildren. So I'm a retired teacher. I spent 43 years teaching in Fairfield, and when the kids started to say, "You had my grandmother," I thought it was time to retire.
So why did you become a state representative, and tell us what a state representative actually really does?
Well, first of all, I was in retirement, and the representative that was preceding me decided to retire and move to a different position. People came to me and said, "Would you run for this position?" I had not considered politics in my retirement plan at all. So I was recruited. And first of all, I talked to my family, and I said, "What do you think about this?" And they said, "Well, Dad, if you don't do this, you'll always wonder what if." I talked to Secretary Vilsack, too, and he was one of the people that I met during this, and he said, "Well, if you don't step forward, other people of lesser quality will step forward, and our government will suffer." So those were some of the things that went through my decision-making process before I agreed to put my name on the ballot, before I threw my hat in the ring. Representing the people here is very, very interesting, because when you go to Des Moines, it's a learning curve that's unbelievable. It's much like being thrown into the deep end of the pool or learning to drink water out of a fire hydrant. The information diversity is so great that it's quite a learning experience. And I've done this now for 5 years. I'm looking forward to another 2 years. It's always a learning experience, and something that is just a interesting way of learning more about our democracy and how to represent the people locally.
So just for people that aren't listening in Iowa right now, so Des Moines is the state capital, and you're a state representative to that. You're a Democrat, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And you're here to talk to us today about mental health initiatives within the state, but you represent a diverse population in this district that you have anyways. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. And I think maybe members of your audience would like to know that in Iowa, a legislator is a part-time position. You're only there between the months of January and May.
That's it?
That's it. That's when you're actually in Des Moines. The job is that you're paid per diem in that period. The rest of the time, you're here in your local districts and so forth, but there's many, many meetings that you attend, trying to gain information, trying to learn more about your constituency, your calendar is full the rest of the year as well, but there's a very short time that you're actually in Des Moines. The first the General Assembly is for 2 years, and the first General Assembly lasts 110 days that you're paid in Des Moines. After that, if you stay longer, it's on your own dime. So there's quite a bit of incentive to get legislators home within that 110-day period. The second part of that General Assembly is 100 days. And so it's limited, and that's very good, because otherwise I think the legislature would drone on and on and on trying to seek compromise. So there's quite an incentive. Plus, this is a rural state, and many of the legislators are farmers, and they have a great incentive to get home and get into their fields, too. So there's many, many things coming into play to keep the session in Iowa quite short compared to many other states.
It's a rural state, but there's also urban population, so we're in a small urban population right now, one could say. Rob, you were actually a politician yourself.
Yes, I guess so.
And you work quite extensively in this world of political.
I did run for Congress, but most of the time I'm assisting people getting elected.
Well, you've actually been paid to various committees throughout the country.
Yeah, right.
To give consultation work about how to do elections and stuff like that.
And I did work back in Washington for 7 years with a United States senator and from Iowa, Dick Clark. And I've been on the staff of other senators and congressmen and stuff. Yes.
You've done everything.
Not quite, but I've got time to go yet.
You were a preacher yet, and you've done this, and you've done about 12 other things. You've got like 3 master's degrees. You're pretty incredible.
Just working on them. Yeah. Working on life.
All right. So let's get down to mental health issues. So why are you here talking about mental health today?
Because we need to make sure that our mental health care is consistent around the state. And it hasn't been in the past. There's been a lot of differences between counties and cities in the level of care and the ability to care for our patients who need mental health services. That's been very different in many different places in Iowa. We've recently passed a mental health reform a bill that's supposed to regionalize the care so that we can have the care in a more consistent manner throughout the state. The services should be fair and even to the needs of our patients, and they've not been in the past. We're working for that now. It's improving. We don't have all of the bugs worked out of the regionalization plan, but I think that we're moving in the right direction.
So this would be true across the country, the same kind of thoughts of Some states are having more funding issues and some less, but there seems to be a lot of uneven work in terms of addressing mental health issues.
Oh, certainly there are, and I can only deal with the state of Iowa because that's where I'm an elected official. The national problem, of course, I can advise our national representatives, but I have little impact at the national level. At the state level, I can work actively within the committees and the assignments that I have to promote unevenness across the state of Iowa, to promote better coverage. My own feelings are that we should have mental health meeting the AAA standard, meaning affordability, acceptability, and accessibility. I think those are the three criteria that I would want to promote that would help our people assess and afford and accept mental health care. When in the past,
why is that not being done?
Well, I think there was a lot
of common sense that those three would be absolutely essential.
Well, I think it does seem common sense, but I think you have to remember that common sense is sometimes the least most common thing that you find. In the past, it's been a very, kind of a social issue that we didn't want somebody to know that someone in our family needed the mental health care that was covered up, and it went on and on and on until something terribly bad happened in the family or in the community, and then it became exposed. And I think that's been one of our problems in the past, that we've not accepted from the outside world any help to our family members who were suffering from mental illness. So I see that as a problem. I see that we've changed our philosophy and how to deal with many different health issues. I remember the days when we had a county home that many of the mental health people were basically imprisoned in. And these included many of the people that were poverty-stricken too, the indigent, but they weren't just mentally ill people. That has changed. We moved these people now into community homes and outside into the communities, and I think that's a very good thing because, first of all, for the taxpayer, it's a good thing because it costs far less. But secondly, for the mentally ill people, it allows them to socialize and to be with other people in the community rather than just people who are ill. And I think that's something that the mental health profession has advocated for, and it's a very good thing. Rob, you must have some theories on this, too.
Well, first off, you're listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU 100.1 FM radio, solar-powered radio in downtown Fairfield, Iowa.
And do email us at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com for show ideas and thoughts on the program. We love all your emails that we've been getting.
As we talk about mental health and your description of how mental health has changed over the years is really great, but also has the emphasis of mental health been different in the last couple years or 3 years here in the state legislature?
Well, I think in the state legislature we've realized that we were not coping with the problems adequately, and I think there's been more emphasis to addressing the needs of the mentally ill and the people that need good mental health care. In rural areas, that's particularly difficult because we have so few practitioners in the rural areas. Well, Iowa has about 30% of its people living in rural areas, but we have the same needs as the 60% that live in the urban areas. So we're underserved in rural Iowa with not just mental health care, but primary physicians, everything else. So this is childhood, child psychologists, a psychiatrist. All of these things are rarely found in rural Iowa, and yet the need is great in rural Iowa. So we have problems getting professional people to serve rural Iowans.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, one thing that I've proposed a number of times is dealing with telehealth. And mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent of that. They could be fully HIPAA compliant to have video conferencing as well as telemedicine available to people throughout the state. But the problem is one, from the provider standpoint, creating it, but more importantly, from the consumer side, to be able to know that it exists and to be able to start accessing it.
Exactly. And we are trying to move forward with that in telemedicine in all levels. I think that fiber optics is very important in getting a broadband experience in Iowa, because there's so many communities that do not have the high-speed internet that it would really require to do this adequately with the various televisions and so forth that are involved in this. I do know that there's a clinic in Ottumwa that is working with children that has a telemedicine system and does some child psychology and psychiatry over the internet. And so that's a step forward, and I think they're associated with the University of Iowa Hospitals and their clinics. We need to expand that. We need to make that more available. There's other factors involved in Iowa rural medicine, too. We're seeing more and more of our pharmacies close. And this means that the pharmaceuticals are not available to these people, or they have to travel great distances to obtain their pharmacy, which is a detriment to their getting the proper drugs and so forth that they need upon on their receiving the prescription. There are some places now that I understand have some vending machines for some commonly used, commonly prescribed prescriptions. And those vending machines are then activated by the pharmacy at some distant place by the patient who receives the code and is able to push this code into the vending machine. So this is helping some of our small rural communities of, you know, maybe 1,000 or less that do not have access to even a pharmacy.
Has the legislature or you dealt with the problem of attracting attracting doctors and attracting psychiatrists? For instance, here in Jefferson, as you well know, we only have one psychiatrist. And I think there's one in Ottumwa and one in Mount Pleasant. Is there any effort on the state level to try to attract new doctors and new psychiatrists?
Well, in 2012, Iowa implemented its rural primary care loan repayment plan. And this was the purpose of this was to attract physicians, primary care physicians, to rural Iowa through a loan repayment plan. And I'm not sure how this is working, how well this is working, because we just instituted it in 2012. But the whole point of the program was to help the loan repayment of primary care physicians who wanted to practice in rural Iowa. Now, I'm not sure how, if that covered psychologists and psychiatrists. I'd have to double check on that, because the primary thrust of this was to get the primary care, the general practitioner, into rural Iowa where there were no general practitioners.
Yeah, that actually brings up some really interesting global points. As many of you know, my wife Stephanie's from Australia. And in Australia, there's a number of initiatives to get physicians into the outback. Everybody's heard of the outback. And great incentives to do that in rural and desolate communities, especially in Australia among the Aboriginal communities, because there's a huge amount of mental health, drug and alcohol addiction, and other kinds of problems. But I notice here in Iowa, another rural community, there's this lack. And it's so fascinating, the distinction. I come from Chicago, where I've got a big practice, which is wonderful. And there's lots of people available. In fact, there's a glut of therapists. The problem is hooking up that glut of therapists that's in Chicago with people that are out here that maybe are in need. And finding the points of connection. And even in Chicago, there might be a lot of therapists, but the consumer has no idea who's good, who's bad. But even more importantly, I suppose, is what specialities does somebody have? Mm-hmm. Most consumers don't even know the distinction between a family therapist and a counselor and a social worker and a psychologist. So I'm wondering, from your perspective, what else needs to get done? We've talked in generalities, but more specifically, what do you think needs to get done in Iowa and around the country?
In Iowa, I think that we need to work on our mental health redesign and get that up and running full scale. It's kind of running.
What does that mean? What is a redesign?
Well, the redesign was before each county handled its own medical needs per the County Board of Supervisors and their setup. Now we've regionalized this so that there's many different counties placed together so that they can, if one county has superb mental health services available, that those services could be then available to somebody in a nearby county. Mm. And so this is part of the plan. That's now being improved hopefully weekly or daily. But this is something new that we're trying to iron out the bugs in and trying to make it work. At the same time, there's a lot of different funding levels that went on with the different counties. And we're trying to equalize those somewhat through the counties so that the counties have an equal ability to fund these various needed programs. So this is something that's happening at the regional level that was promoted by the state coming out with the placing an incentive to have these counties and regions develop into various programs that could support the many, many diversified needs. You can imagine in a heavily populated county such as Polk, they had many, many services available and they had many providers available, whereas in Jefferson County here, we have far fewer facilities, far fewer funds available, and so forth. So we have a lack of providers in rural Iowa, generally, because many of these rural providers, want to stay in an area where they have many of their friends that they can consult with, and so forth. If you're in rural Iowa as a practitioner, you may be the only practitioner of that particular specialty within maybe 50 or 100 miles.
Yeah. Obviously, a doctor or a psychiatrist would practically want to practice in an area where there's a lot more people, a bigger catchment area. I mean, you talk about Chicago, obviously it's easier to get clients in Chicago than it is in Fairfield, Iowa.
Well, yes and no. That's the interesting thing. In Chicago, there is, as I said, a glut of therapists, but there's no distinction of who's who. When you look in Blue Cross, and you simply look for a provider, you're looking for the nearest person to you. But apart from some general concept of specialty, you don't know if that person's really any good. You don't know how long they've been practicing. You don't know if they're saying they have some specialty but don't really have any real depth to that work. And so it's still that kind of notion of, well, what is it, what does somebody actually do, and how do I actually connect to that?
Actually, it sounds like, you know, I can't think of the name of it, but there's a system out there, like if you need an air conditioner person.
Oh, like Angie's List.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We need
or Consumer Reports.
Consumer Reports, yes. Yeah,
we need it. We need a process like that for therapists.
Well, and we also need one for the state so that the state is actually doing what there's always, of course, going to be funding issues, but doing what the people need, so to speak. I think state politics, as well as national politics, often becomes what's going to make the politicians be reelected and what's going to provide more money, as opposed to what's really needed.
Right.
But maybe that's a cynical perspective.
Going back to how do you choose a provider, this is something that I think in rural Iowa is probably a lot easier than in a metro area. First of all, in rural Iowa, you have very few choices.
Yes.
And so you're pretty much down to
stuck with who's over there.
Whoever's there or the one or two people.
Yeah.
But then you have word of mouth in a small community. And you talk to your friends and your neighbors and you say, well, was this person a good provider? And yes or no would be the answer. The same thing you do in a small community with your plumber or your carpenter or your painter. Word of mouth travels very rapidly in a small community. That's one of the benefits of a small community. You know your providers and you know what your neighbors and your friends think of that provider, whether they be a physician or whether they be the local plumber. And that, I don't think, happens as frequently in a metro area where you have many people providing and many people that don't really have the relationship. We don't see each other at the theater as much, or we don't recognize our friends that may live half a block down the street. In rural communities, you do.
So you're speaking of spreading the word of mouth. You are listening to KRUU 100.1 FM radio in Fairfield, Iowa.
You know, that really brings up a really fascinating ethical point, which has changed. The American Counseling Association, which is the biggest therapeutic organization, has changed their ethics rules recently. And one of the interesting changes is it used to be that you couldn't provide services for somebody that you knew. And there's a difference between somebody who's a real friend and a real family as opposed to somebody that you might know from church or temple or something.
Okay.
And this has changed because in a small part of the argument was in a rural community, there's no way to not know somebody. There's no way to go to church or temple and not know everybody in that town. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go outside and not know people. I can't go to the store here in town. It takes me a half an hour to walk out of the a store that would take me 10 minutes because I run into so many people.
That's a blessing in a small community.
That's
it's
exactly
also,
right.
also a problem.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. So, but in terms of other state initiatives, what else is being done or needs to get done? Maybe that's the question. Else needs to really get done now so that we can really make some progress?
Well, I think we need to continue with the regionalization and that those problems. We need to continue with trying to figure out a way to help our emergency medical services because they're in the same problem with getting people to the hospital, getting people that are trained to operate with the EMS systems. In many parts of Iowa, it's a volunteer system, and so you have your EMS people that are part-time and maybe not trained as well as you would find the people that are full-time in a metro area. So those are all part of the picture, too, that we've got a many-faceted problem here of improving our access to professional practitioners, improving the services of the EMS crews, improving the communications, pharmaceutical access. All of those are part of the problem that I was trying to step forward and address, and it's something that's quite a major project, and I don't think we solve it all at once. We solve it piece by piece, and we go the extra mile each year in trying to work out solutions that are agreeable to the majority of the people.
Is this a Democratic-Republican problem, or is it pretty much everybody's on the same page that things need to change, and let's start working together to make that happen? Is this one of those crossover areas, or is there still get bogged down by politics?
Well, I think everything gets helped and bogged down by politics eventually because you do have issues with metro versus rural. And that's not a political thing per se, not a Democratic Republican thing, but it is an issue between rural Iowans and urban Iowans. You see the different funding levels that people are interested in funding. Some people are interested in funding medical issues fully, and other people are saying, well, that's your own business, how you get the funding for that, and the state should not be interested in that. So there's many different facets of this that you're trying to come up with a compromise. And of course, the Department of Human Services is a major player in this and how they can evolve and make this work for them as well. So you're trying to come up with something in the state of Iowa that will advance the mental health and the overall health of Iowans. And rural Iowans are falling behind in that. We have a high percentage of people who are elderly living in rural Iowa. We have
much higher percentage. Actually.
Much higher percentage, yeah. Yes, and that's causing our health needs in rural Iowa to be higher than many of the metro areas, simply because of the age of our population in rural Iowa.
What do you think, Rob?
Well, when we just talk about politics, you always talk about things getting bogged down because of the funding, and there's only a limited the pie is only so big, and you have to split it up. In your 5 years in the legislature, is there a difference between, say, when the pie was split as far as mental health is concerned when Governor Culver was here and when Governor Branstad now?
Well, I was not in but 1 year with Governor Culver, and I was a freshman legislator and trying to learn how to drink from the fire hydrant.
Wait a minute. Okay. Let's get the fire hydrant in there.
Yes, because it was such a learning experience, and we needed to move forward. But there was also the Great Recession that had happened to Iowa. So at that point in time, we were trying to deal with a shrinking revenue and dealing with those problems. So my first year in office was basically a budgetary year that, as I said, the learning curve was very steep, but we also had the Great Recession that we were dealing with. So our concern at that point wasn't human services and mental health. Our concern was the whole state economy and trying to make a budget that would be sufficient for Iowans to move forward. And Iowa does have a very good budget position. We do have about $1.4 billion in cash reserves and rainy day funds. So that's something an Iowan should be very proud of.
I think we're one of three states that have a reserve, aren't we? I think
I'm not sure if it's three, but we do have, I think it's about five perhaps now, but okay. But we do have a very good financial or fiscal picture, and that's expected to continue because Iowa's economy is really built on three levels. It's built on the rural economy, it's built on the ag economy, it's built on the industrial economy, it's built on the business economy. So those three legs of the economic Iowa stool have provided a very good stream of revenue in the past. If one leg drops, and we're expected to have a agriculture drop this year because of the commodity prices, hopefully the other two legs of the financial stool will maintain Iowa into a position where it can be very viable in the next year.
Well, Kurt, thank you very much. It's obvious that we need to have you back many, many more times in order to find out what's going on. But you are listening to KRUU 100.1 FM radio, and this is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry.
And Rob Buehler. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. See you soon. Again, we broadcast Thursdays at 6:30 and Tuesdays at 6:30 and Thursdays at 12:30, and everything's archived. Bye.